fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. This is the legend of a man who buried his identity to dedicate his life to the service of humanity and country. It is the story of the origin of the Lone Ranger. Early settlers in the West had to be brave men and women, ready to fight for their lives at any moment. There was danger on every side. There were wild beasts, savage Indians, and the Cavendish Gang. Butch Cavendish headed a pack of outlaws. They struck without warning to steal and kill.
Open fire on that wagon train. Wipe them out to their last man.
The Cavendish Gang attacked ranches and towns as well as wagon trains. Everyone feared Butch Cavendish. His gang grew rich and powerful. Finally, the Texas Rangers learned where Butch Cavendish and his gang were hiding. 6 Texas Rangers guided their horses along a canyon floor to arrest the Cavendish gang. Presently, Captain Reed signaled a halt.
Rein in, boys. We'll wait here until the scout returns.
You think it was a good idea to send Collins, our guide, on ahead?
It was Captain Reed's younger brother who asked the question. The captain explained that Collins, who was not a Texas Ranger, was the only man who knew the country and who could scout ahead for information. Then, while the Texas Rangers waited for the guide's return, the captain said to his younger brother,
"My wife and son are coming from the east. If something happens to me and you survive, well, I know you'll take care of her and Danny."
"Right.
I'm going to count on you to resign from the Rangers and work that silver mine we staked out. See that my son and his mother get my share."
"I promise."
"Here comes Collins, the scout."
Sidney.
What's the word, Collins?"
"Good news, Captain Reed. It's all clear. I scouted the rim on both sides of the canyon and found no sign of the Cavendish outfit."
"All right, boys, let's go. Get up there.
Collins, the guide, lagged behind unnoticed by the Texas Rangers, who moved in single file along the floor of the rock-strewn canyon. They didn't know that Collins had lied, that Butch Cavendish and his killers were waiting in ambush on the rim on both sides of the gap.
"Here come those Rangers, boys, just as Collins told us."
"Yeah, they are.
Now, we can't get down to the floor of the canyon without going a long way back, and it'll be dark in half an hour. So we'll just keep pouring lead into them from up here until we're sure they're dead. Then we won't be taking any chances. Now open fire!"
The Rangers leaped from their saddles and spread out as they returned the fire from both sides of the canyon. Soon, 4 of the Rangers were killed. Captain Dan Reed and his brother, wounded several times, kept fighting side by side. Then the captain fell mortally wounded, and a moment later, his younger brother, the last of the Rangers, slumped to the ground. The outlaws waited and watched for any sign of life from the Rangers, then rode away, convinced that all 6 men in Bryant's Gap were dead. Sunset came, then darkness. That night, an Indian examined the bodies by moonlight. After examining the first 5 men, he muttered softly,
"Them dead."
Then he came to the 6th man, the younger brother of the captain.
"And this man lives."
The Indian lifted this man tenderly in his strong arms and carried him to a nearby cave where he bathed and dressed the wounds. Then he took a spade from one side of the cave and returned to the canyon, where he worked steadily until the dead men had been buried. Returning to the cavern, he sat watching through the remaining hours of the night. Daybreak found the ranger stronger, but by nightfall, the wounds had become infected. The Indian called on all his knowledge to treat the wounded man. He went day and night without rest. It was the morning of the fourth day when the ranger opened his eyes, and for the first time the Indian saw them clear and calm.
Are you awake? Me glad.
Yes, I... But so weak.
You wounded, man.
I remember an ambush.
Isn't that right? Me find you in canyon. Carry you here to cave.
It's daylight.
It morning.
Then I must have been unconscious all night.
It's several days since fight in canyon.
Several days.
Ah.
There's something familiar about you.
You remember? Many year ago, you only boy. You find Indian boy in trouble. You save life, Indian boy.
Yes. Your name is Tonto.
That right?
Years ago, you called me Kemosabe.
That right. And you still Kemosabe. It mean faithful friend.
Tonto, there were six of us in that canyon. The others. What about the other rangers?
Other ranger. All dead.
Dead. One was my brother.
You only ranger left. You, Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. Tonto, those killers know me by sight. If they know one man escaped, they'll look for him.
And them not know one escape. Tonto bury five men, make six grave. Crook think you die with others.
Good. Then my name shall be forever buried with my brother and my friends. From now on, my face must be concealed. A disguise, perhaps, or a mask. That's it. A mask. I'm the only one who knows about the Cavendish gang. With your help, Tonto, I'll get every one of those crooks.
In the ranger's eyes, there was a light that must have burned in the eyes of knights in armor. A light that through the ages lifted the souls of strong men who fought for justice, for God.
I'll be the Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger and Tonto were trailing the worst outlaw in the West. His name was Butch Cavendish. They had followed his trail for many weeks, until finally, they noticed that the hoofprints of the outlaw's horse were fresh.
We're close to Cavendish now.
Yes, Tonto. He can't be far ahead.
Him outrun us last time. Maybe better we shoot in sight.
No, I want to take him alive. That shot.
Look out.
Steady there, steady boy.
Over there. Killer in ambush, him right way.
Tonto, he missed me, but he shot my horse. Get after him.
Get him up, Tonto.
Tonto's horse was tired and no match in speed for the animal Cavendish rode. The outlaw escaped. When Tonto returned from the futile chase, he found the Lone Ranger standing beside his dead horse.
A good horse, Tonto. Loyal, faithful, and brave. But my next horse must be faster. I wish that... Tonto... We've heard stories of a wild horse, a fiery white stallion.
Him seen near valley over there, where Cavendish go.
We'll be on the lookout for the wild horse while we follow Cavendish.
Tonto's horse carried the Lone Ranger's saddle, his saddlebags and bridle, while the masked man and the Indian continued on foot along the outlaw's trail. When they reached the top of a hill...
Look, Tonto!
They halted suddenly and stared at an awe-inspiring sight far down in the valley. They saw a great white stallion in a death fight with a giant buffalo. The horse was plunging, rearing, charging, and dodging wildly. And the sun flashed from his coat as from a coat of polished silver. They realized that this was the legendary white stallion, the one ranchers and hunters had talked so much about.
Tonto, we must have that horse. I'll try to shoot the buffalo.
It's too far for pistol shot.
I'll get closer before it's too late.
As he ran downhill, the Lone Ranger watched the battle. The sleek white stallion was nimble and courageous, but his strength began to wane. The buffalo charged again and again. The splendid muscles of the white horse were slower in responding, then too slow. He was caught by the buffalo's charge. Wet crimson stained his pure white coat. Another charge. The white horse saw it coming, and he couldn't dodge. He staggered and fell. The monster drew back and lowered his head for the death charge. And then, two shots rang out. The buffalo shuddered from the impact of the masked man's bullets. For an instant, he stood motionless. Then fell. Cruelly battered and bruised, the white stallion lay quietly as the Lone Ranger bathed his wounds. During the next several days, the masked man and the Indian cared for the injured horse. Then the wounds were closed, and the horse's strength had returned. There was once more fire in his eye, a spring in his step, and his head was lifted proudly.
Tonto, he's himself again.
Him plenty strong. Plenty good horse.
I wonder if he'll take a saddle. Let's try. Steady there. Steady, boy.
Me get rope. Him run away.
No, Tonto, wait. Let him go. I'd like to have that horse more than anything in the world. But he deserves his freedom. He fought for it.
Him stop.
He's turned to look at us. See how the sun reflects from his white coat.
Him look like silver.
Silver. That would be a name for him. Silver! Look at him. Silver! Here, Silver! Tonto, he's coming back. It's just as if he knew what I said. Silver! Silver, you beauty. Hand me the halter, Tonto.
As the mighty stallion felt the halter, he trembled as if from a chill. Every instinct told him that he must flee at once to preserve his freedom. And yet he stood his ground. It wasn't gratitude that kept him there. It was something stronger, some mysterious bond of friendship and understanding. He heard the man's voice, and he liked it.
Silver. Silver. We're going to be partners.
Him let you use halter.
Now, Tonto, the saddle.
Oh, no horse like that. Take saddle.
There never was a horse like this. Now, Silver, we're going to work together.
The horse was wild and unused to the ways of men and the weight of a saddle and a rider. But the masked man was a kind teacher. He was gentle yet firm, and Silver was intelligent. The stallion seemed to sense the desires of the Lone Ranger and did his best to cooperate. He learned quickly, and after several days of training, he was ready.
Follow me, Tonto. I'm going after Cavendish. Come on, Silver!
No hoofs had ever beat the plains like those thundering hoofs of the great horse Silver. During the past few days, Cavendish had gotten far away, but the masked man and Tonto trailed him relentlessly, with only a minimum of rest. It took days to cut down the outlaw's lead, but at long last, Cavendish came into view.
There he is! Come on, Silver!
The mighty stallion responded with a new burst of speed. Cavendish fired wild shots over his shoulder until his gun was empty. His horse, though powerful and fast, was no match for the charging Silver.
Get up there. Come on.
Fear
Get
and
up.
Panic filled the outlaw's face. He heard the hoofbeats ever nearer.
Get along,
and the masked man shout,
I want you, Cavendish.
The masked man's avowed mission was accomplished. The last of the Cavendish gang was captured to be tried by law and punished for his crimes. But there were many others whose criminal plans were to be challenged by the Lone Ranger, his faithful Indian companion Tonto, and his great horse Silver.
I am Silver! Hooray!
This is the legend of Dan Reed. The story of how the Lone Ranger found his only living relative. A long line of prairie schooners moved westward through a valley. Among the pioneers were families with all their worldly goods and men on horseback who planned to seek their fortune in the new frontier. Also, there were several women who had joined the wagon train to meet their husbands, who had previously gone west to make new homes. Suddenly, a blood-chilling cry rang out from the hills.
Indians!
Brilliantly painted Indians charged from the hills on both sides of the valley.
Form a circle with the wagon!
Get to the floor of the wagon, honey, and hold the baby close.
Heavily outnumbered by the Indians, the pioneers knew they had no hope, but they were determined to fight to the last man. It was the following morning when the Lone Ranger and Tonto came upon the scene of the massacre. They drew rein and examined the grim remains of wagons that had been looted, then burned, and the bodies of brave pioneers who had died in their attempt to conquer the West.
No survivors, Tonto.
It looked like work of Apache.
This must have been the wagon train that was heading for Fort Laramie.
While Tonto watched, the masked man made a detailed inspection of the ashes of wagons and their contents. Presently, he found a small square piece of metal, a nameplate from a trunk. He wiped it on his sleeve, then read it.
Tonto, remember how the Cavendish gang ambushed my brother and the other Texas Rangers in Bryant's Gap?
Me know. You ambushed, too.
I think my brother had an idea that something might happen to him. Just before we rode into the Gap, he called me aside and said...
I want to speak to you brother to brother. My wife and son are coming from the east. If something happens to me and you survive, well, I know you'll take care of her and Daddy.
I promised him I would. Then he said...
I'm going to count on you to resign from the Rangers and work that silver mine we staked out. See that my son and his mother get my share.
I made arrangements for an old man named Jim to work the silver mine and got enough ore to keep me supplied with silver bullets and what cash I need.
Me know.
We were to wait until my brother's wife arrived from the east to decide what she wanted done with her share of the silver mine. But now I...
Me sorry, Kimasabi.
Yes, Tonto. Linda and the baby boy were on this wagon train.
Maybe woman, baby captured. Maybe them alive.
It's a faint hope, Tonto. Nevertheless, I shan't be convinced that they're dead. We'll always be on the lookout for some clue that Dan Reed and his mother are alive. In the meantime, we must help make the West a place where massacres like this can't happen.
After reporting the massacre of the wagon train to Fort Laramie, the Lone Ranger visited his secret silver mine for a fresh supply of silver bullets. Then, with Tonto at his side, the masked man turned the blinding light of justice on criminals throughout the West. He was a mysterious figure identified only by his mask, a great white horse named Silver, and a ringing cry.
Hail Silver!
He was the Lone Ranger. Though 13 years went by, the Lone Ranger was ever alert for proof that his brother's wife and son were dead, or, if living, a clue that might lead him to their side. Then his adventures took him to the high border country in the Northwest, where he fought men who sought to rob an old lady called Grandma Frisbee and her adopted grandson, a boy in his early teens whose name was Dan. The outlaws were conquered, but the fight had been a great strain on Grandma Frisbee's aging heart. The masked man and Dan were with her in the small, neat bedroom.
I'm tired.
Try to get some sleep, Mrs. Frisbee.
No, I want to be sure Dan will be all right. I want you to take care of Dan.
I'll take care of him as if he were my son.
You ought to know about his past. He's not really my grandson.
No?
I'm not. But Grandma Frisbee,
Let me talk. There's a small box under the bed. Hand it to me.
I'll get it.
Grandma Frisbee held the box in her thin, blue-veined hands while she told of coming west in a wagon train.
That was over 10 years ago. There was a fine lady traveling with the party, and she had a baby boy.
The dying woman told about the Indian attack.
I crept away from the scene of the massacre and took the baby with me. I came up here near the border and raised Dan as my grandson. Here's a little gold locket that he wore around his neck. There are pictures inside.
The Lone Ranger opened the locket and looked at the faces of the man and woman as Dan spoke.
I wonder who my parents were.
I know them. This man, your father, was my brother.
Your brother?
He was a captain of the Texas Rangers and one of the bravest men in the country. Your mother was a fine lady from Virginia. Her name was Linda.
I called the baby Dan because it's the name that's on the locket. But I never knew the last name.
Dan's last name is Reed, the same as mine.
Gosh!
I've been looking for you, Dan, for many years, ever since your father died. From now on, if you're willing, we'll travel together.
Oh, I'd like that.
I'm glad. Would you do just one thing for me before I sleep? Would you take off that mask and show me your face?
Why, of course.
Oh, it's a good face. Yes, a good face.
Dan, your grandma was a fine woman. It's too bad she had to go.
She was certainly good to me.
She and your father left you a great heritage.
A heritage?
Yes. They and others like them have handed down to you the right to worship as you choose, and the right to work and profit from your enterprise. They have given you a land where there is true freedom, true equality of opportunity, a nation that is governed by the people, by laws that are best for the greatest number. Your duty, Dan, is to preserve that heritage and strengthen it. That is the heritage and duty of every American.
With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger. This is the story that tells how Tonto once saved the Lone Ranger. Ranger and Tonto were riding westward across desolate country. They were looking at the tracks of a wagon train when suddenly a thin young man stepped from behind a big boulder. He held a rifle to his shoulder and shouted,
"Rein in or I'll shoot."
Oh, 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 oh,
that's it. Now get off those horses and don't try to reach for a gun.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto dismounted slowly.
Easy, steady, big fellow. Easy.
Then the masked man dropped his hand with lightning speed and fired from the hip. His bullet smashed the rifle and sent it flying from the young man's hands.
Now raise your hands. Search him, Tonto. See if he has any other weapons.
I haven't. I should have known better than to try to hold up a masked outlaw.
I'm not an outlaw, and you don't look like one.
I'm not. I held you up because I hoped to find food in your saddlebags.
What's your name?
Wingate. Dave Wingate.
What are you doing alone in country like this?
I was with a wagon train. It passed here.
Why did you leave the train?
I was driven away.
Why?
I didn't do anything wrong. I was framed by Cap Sanders.
Cap Sanders?
He was hired as wagon master. Every night he posted guards to watch for dangerous redskins.
Sioux Indian dangerous, but Crow Indian friendly.
One of our best friends is chief of the Crow Indians who live north of here. Dave, I want to hear how you were framed, but first we'll prepare a meal.
Oh, I'm near starved.
During the meal, Dave told about being on guard duty during a dark night when he saw two men sneaking beyond the circle of wagons.
So I followed them. They met a third man, and I got close enough to hear their voices. One was Cap Sanders and another the guide he'd hired. We called him Dakota Dick. The man they met was an Indian.
Could you hear what was said?
I was there only a minute, and then I sneezed. Cap Sanders and Dakota Dick rushed at me, grabbed me, and disarmed me. They were raving mad.
What about the Indian?
He disappeared. Dakota Dick wanted to shoot me. But Sanders said that'd be hard to explain. He said he had a better way of getting rid of me. They took me to camp, roused the men, and accused me of sleeping on guard duty.
I wonder why they wanted to get rid of you.
I don't know. Unless they thought I overheard something they wanted kept secret.
Did you?
No. The Indian jabbered something I couldn't understand. And Sanders told him to mosey along.
Mosey along?
Yes. He said, mosey along, you Injun. Walk on. It sounded odd. That's why I remembered it.
Oh. Maybe him talk Sioux Indian language. Maybe him say, mosey on, you Indian. Walk on.
Well, that's it.
Sanders told the Indian to make an attack at a landmark known as Medicine Rock.
Medicine Rock? The wagons are supposed to reach there tonight.
And Sanders is working with Sioux Indians to attack the pioneers. They must be warned. I'll try to overtake the wagons.
Me go with you?
No, Tonto. I'll make better time alone. You stay with Dave. Easy, steady, big fella. Monsilve!
Late afternoon when the Lone Ranger overtook the train of covered wagons. He drew abreast of the first one in the line.
Easy, Silver, easy.
And shouted to the driver.
Frisbee! Are you Jim Frisbee?
Yes, I... Your mask!
No time to explain the mask now. There may be an ambush ahead. Stop the wagons while I tell you about it.
Stop the wagons!
The wagons were halted at the foot of a long hill. Jim Frisbee and men from other wagons listened while the Lone Ranger told about the possible ambush at Medicine Rock in the valley ahead.
It's just beyond that hill. You're within a couple of miles of the place.
Two of our men rode ahead. If there's any sign of trouble, they'll come back and lead us over a different route. Otherwise, we'll go on as we planned.
Are Cap Sanders and Dakota Dick the men who went ahead?
Well, yes.
Frisbee, if my information is correct, they're helping the Indians plan the ambush.
Why would they do that?
For money. If you people are massacred, they'll be able to take your cash and let the Indians have your horses and supplies.
They're not crooks.
I'm sure they are.
I'd say you're the crook. What's your game?
Yeah, what's your
name? The Lone Ranger realized when he heard the angry comments that he could never persuade the men to follow him over a different trail that would lead safely past the dangerous valley.
Where'd you get your information?
Nothing I might say would convince you that I've told the truth.
Hey, look! The top of the hill! Engines!
They're Sioux engines!
They're on the war path!
They're coming this way!
Now you must fight. I'll help you.
Form a circle!
You men!
As the Indians rode down the long hill, the Lone Ranger helped the pioneers quickly move the wagons into a tight circle. Then the gunfire started. The savages, who greatly outnumbered the pioneers, circled around the wagons, firing from the backs of their horses. The Lone Ranger fought at the side of Jim Frisbee. The first attack was driven off. The Indians withdrew to the hilltop. The Lone Ranger watched them through binoculars, then said,
Frisbee, look through these glasses. You see Cap Sanders and Dakota Dick talking to the Indians.
They're double-crossers. You were right about them.
They double-crossed you, and they lied about Dave Wingate falling asleep at his post.
How'd you know about Wingate?
I met him on the trail.
During the lull in battle, the Lone Ranger told how he had met Dave Wingate and learned of the attack. Then the Indians near the hilltop, out of gun range, showed signs of activity.
They're starting another attack.
We've used more than half our ammunition. Get set, boys. We'll go down fighting.
Here they come.
Every man inside the circle of wagons knew that the end was near.
Make every shot count.
The Indians knew it, too. They felt that victory was in their grasp when suddenly new war cries sounded from the north.
Look over there. More Indians coming.
Those are friendly Indians. They're members of a Crow tribe.
You mean they're on our side?
Yes. Tuttle's riding beside the chief. And there's Dave Wingate.
Boys, we're saved. Never mind sparing the ammunition. Let them have it.
Tuttle and his friends changed the tide of battle quickly. Many Indians went down. The others tried to flee, but they were hotly pursued by the Crows. And it was easy to see that none would escape. That night, in the light of campfires, Jim Frisbee told the pioneers how Dave Wingate had been unfairly punished.
And man, I say every one of us owes his life to Dave.
That's right, Jim.
I didn't do anything. We owe our lives to Tonto and the Lone Ranger.
I'll see you later.
Bye!